Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108. Get closer to Irish rugby with News Talk and Vodafone, official sponsor of the Irish rugby team.
Welcome back. We're talking rugby. Brian O'Driscoll in studio. Gavin Comiskey of the Irish Times in studio. Scotland 27, Ireland 22 on Saturday in Murrayfield. England beating France 19 points to 16. And Wales eventually, after stuttering for much of their game in Rome, beating the Italians by 33 points to 7. Gav, you were just making the point off air that the Scottish approach was spot on. And really a huge aspect of this victory was the work done in the video room beforehand.
Yeah, I think it's the first time that I've witnessed a Joe Schmidt team being so stale, I suppose, in the video room, as opposed to, like, because it just never happens with his teams. He's just so good. But you have to understand, he was Fern Cotter's assistant coach. Nathan Hines played under him for a year. These guys know him as well as anybody in rugby. So there was just so many. There was a couple of little things, like the line out, the little bits and pieces of the game. There was a bluff about Murray, how we're going to target Murray, and then they didn't target him.
Yeah. So
they left him alone. That might have played into other things further down.
Yeah,
it was clever little things at the breakdown.
Yeah.
Just Cotter got one up on his old mate.
Because usually, Brian, we go into a game and feel that we've already won the video room war. We're kind of safe in that knowledge at kickoff that actually already we've outfoxed them in some way. Joe's plan is going to be superior.
Yeah, this felt like uncharted territory. It did. And it would definitely have felt good from Vern Cotter's point of view, because on the one-upmanship, because I did feel they got the edge. I think they did analyse us to within an inch of our lives.
Yeah.
Besides the things that Gav mentioned, even our loop play, you know, I saw whoever was defending Paddy Jackson followed him around on the loop play a couple of times in the second half. More often than not, he didn't get it, but it's very, very difficult to have any effect on that if you have someone literally man-marking you.
Yeah.
So I think they got their analysis spot on, and huge credit to them for that, because it does not happen very often.
No, I can imagine Joe Schmidt's reaction, like just anger.
Vern Cotter was very happy afterwards.
I'd say so, yeah. Joe Schmidt was talking to the media afterwards, naturally, and referenced the bus being late and that being a theme across the day for Ireland.
We arrived about 15 minutes late to the stadium, and we certainly were on time leaving the hotel. It just took a long time, so those things happen. It's certainly not an excuse for being late to things in the first half. We were sluggish. I think we got some really good field position in that first half and didn't convert, and that was frustrating. And at the same time, I felt that they got probably too much room to move, and we were sluggish to close that space down and missed a few tackles. I think there were a lot of bodies on the floor in the breakdown, and it did make it very hard. Connor was reaching over, and kind of the ball was slow, and it just made it very difficult for Paddy. And because the ball was slow, they had the initiative of getting off the line, and they did it really well. So Paddy always felt crowded in that first half. Whereas I think the reverse was probably true of them. They got some really good quick front football and did a really good job with it.
Brian, I might kick off with a point Shane Horgan made in the Sunday Times yesterday, where he said Joe Schmidt made a calculated bet. What he concluded was, we don't have Johnny Sexton, so our game needs to be a bit narrower. In our back row, we've three of the biggest ball carriers in Europe, as well as Henderson and Tyke Furlong, two other massive ball carriers. With all that power, we're going to steamroll these guys. Fundamentally, that was Ireland's approach. However, we made it too easy for Scotland to defend against us. Instead of the variation we saw in the summer and the autumn, passes being a bit disguised and big ball carriers sometimes being used as decoy runners, we just kept hitting the first man out from the ruck as a one-out runner. The Scottish players were aware of it, and they tackled really well and put that player on the deck very quickly. Is that a fair summation?
Yeah, I think there's an element of truth to that. I wouldn't say that they cut their cloth because of Jackson. I think they probably looked at the Scottish pack and they felt as though they had the impetus on them, man for man, certainly at scrum. Line-out was always going to be questionable because of the Grey boys in the second row. Defensively, they've got a very good line-out. But I think you look at the back row that they picked as well. They picked Wilson and Strauss. You know, ordinarily it's one or other. They often have Barkley in the second row, but, or in the on the flank. Mm. but they had him on the bench. So they knew what they were trying to match us with what we were bringing to them. They knew our ball carriers.
Yeah.
And maybe we missed a trick with just the subtlety of some of the tip-ons. I think what's a frustration is how we show a picture of doing a play and we have a runner coming short, but particularly when it's a forward as a first receiver, it's very evident whether they're doing one or the other, either carrying or passing. The only person I think that disguises it brilliantly is Tadhg Furlong. He's become our best first receiver as a forward.
Right.
Whereas an awful lot of the guys just back themselves. And it's hard not to when you're CJ Standard and you have so much success as you do have. Same with Sean O'Brien. But we've got matched physically, particularly that first 20 minutes. We absolutely got annihilated in the contact area.
Yeah, because there was a moment, I remember jotting it down in 37 minutes, one of the few times we got clean line-out ball. And I went to Stander, who had a decent carry. And we thought, OK, we're starting maybe to punch holes here. And then it started getting very lateral and very lateral. And it was a turnover then. And it was a huge psychological moment. And it just felt like it summed up the first half. Were we playing with more variation in the autumn to what we saw over the weekend?
I think our timings were a little bit off. And right. I think that was some of the new combinations. Definitely you could see the power plays that we've heard Joe Schmidt talking about before and a lot of the players talking about, where they're not thinking about trying to break off first phase. Sometimes it's trying to contort a defence by bringing them through three phases. Hmm. So the fourth one, something opens up, and everyone has a role in those three initial phases. And sometimes you won't see it on screen. Yeah. It'll be something small that's done, lengthening a ruck, or even holding someone in, or doing something. Whereas I just felt as though we lacked the ability to hold defenders inside because our timing was off. A couple of times the centres were kind of checking their run and it didn't look as though they had any momentum if they did get the ball. Hmm. It's easy to defend off that, to be able to push off, and that's partly to do with being hit in the contact area and thinking that the next phase was going to be another couple of metres on, and so having to check your run. But also, being in new territory, Gary Ringrose is relatively new to the team. It's a new combination, albeit he plays with Robbie Henshaw and Leinster, and particularly the three playing together with Paddy Jackson, the two playing together with Paddy Jackson. They're new combination. They're going to take a while to knit through.
Mm. Does it go back to source, though? Does Vern Cotter and Nathan Hines ever get credit for Paul O'Connor said on the BBC he was surprised to see Watson in ahead of Barkley, but he can see it now because they were just slowing the ball. And Roman Watt would say, take your hands off it, and they just eased their hands off. But it was enough that so everything was affected. Everything was a ripple effect from the breakdown and how we got outmatched, I suppose.
Games are won and lost at the breakdown and at the collision zone.
They were just sneakier.
The knockout, yeah, they were. And some referees will ping you early if you even try and put your hand on the ball for a couple of seconds to slow it down.
Not Romain.
Poit, obviously, but you've got to play that referee too. You've got to do that yourself. I think huge credit has to go to Cotter and Nathan Hines. I think tactically they did brilliantly against us. Particularly, I loved the Dunbar try. I thought that was brilliant. That was something out of Joe Schmidt's playbook.
Oh, is it? And
no, it's the sort of thing that you would anticipate.
But
Joe
beat him
would
a little bit
up.
At his own game.
I think they totally did. I think they saw the way they were playing against Australia, particularly in November, and they went after them and they took their opportunities phenomenally well. You look at the possession stats in that first half. Ireland had just shy of 70% possession, and yet they were trailing 21-8. That's pretty phenomenal strike rate.
Can you be too disciplined for your own good? Do you know what I mean? Again, it was Furlong and Best where they knew exactly what they had to do in that line-out. And so Dunbar just kind of strolled in. They still gave away only nine penalties, I think it was.
Yeah, but we've never seen that line-out done before.
No.
You've seen 13-man line-out with everyone piling in and it's an unstoppable maul if you get set properly.
Was your sense
that's just another phase of thinking. That I loved the ingenuity of that.
Did they not see him? Were they just so in their own world they didn't see him?
Having Gordon Darcy or Robbie Henshaw as an option in your line-out, you're just not thinking the ball's being thrown there.
Yeah.
You're thinking about trying to get your lifter up because their line-out has been so good. We compete on 5 and 10 metres at times. So they're just thinking about getting their lifter up in the air. They're not thinking about the threat of a flat ball to an inside centre. It was just really, really clever play.
Because Liam Tolan made the point that he wasn't, do you match up man for man even if you spot him? Because you're that close to the try line. Do you want to give Stuart Hogg more space? He wasn't even sure if maybe they looked at it and thought, oh, we'll leave him. Yeah. Or what the logic was.
Yeah, I actually said, Liam was sitting in front of me and I leaned down to him and I went,
can you do that? And he was like, Liam was like, yeah, you can put as many numbers as you want in the lineup. Sure. You only have to tell when you're dropping numbers off, you know.
Yeah.
That was clever.
Some of the post-match reaction from the players. Rob Kearney said there were times on the edges when we just chased shadows. We let Finn Russell play the game all day long. There wasn't a speck of dirt on him coming off. Our line speed was so poor in the first half. Your line speed is the best way to get into a game. Sometimes you win your collisions, you slow the ball down, you turn some ball over. He said they were soft at one point as well, Rob Kearney. Rory Best said we basically did the opposite of everything we'd planned to do. Yeah. Sean O'Brien said we gave Scotland a nice clean ball for the most part. There was just this sense afterwards from all the players, particularly the experienced ones, that the Irish team did not do anything they were hoping to do and very, very angry with themselves.
They were disgusted. I hope they never take Rob Kearney away from his post-game, because win or lose, he's got to always... He does not do the party line. He's just straight up honest with you after a game. He was brilliant in Chicago after that, and he was excellent. Like he goes straight up, he goes, we were soft. Now, again, he's only referring to the first 25 minutes, I think, but it was... He didn't hide away from it. Sometimes you can come out and go, well, this and that, and he didn't make any excuses whatsoever.
I thought their defence looked unrecognisable in aspects from November. Like Andy Farrell's come in and done a phenomenal job. I thought they were ball watching an awful lot. Now, I don't know whether that's something they're really trying to do. I know some teams are keeping an eye on where the ball is and then subsequently trying to earmark who their man is. That's just a tactic they're doing. But if they are, I don't think it worked very well. I thought they got incredibly narrow in their spacings. Obviously, it's easy to say they were narrow because we were exploited out wide. Mm. But I think... not just when we got hit with line breaks, I thought invariably they were incredibly tight.
Yeah.
You can only bring great line speed if you've got better spacings. If you bring line speed that tight, you pull it deep back behind certain players to, you know, fast wingers or a full back, they'll absolutely scoot around the outside. Mm. So
was this not like a malaise of the 2015 World Cup that we had cured?
I could understand people and some people, you know, I saw on social media were saying it's a problem we haven't fixed from the Argentinian game, and it did look that way.
It's an easy, it's a bit of a
it
link,
is an
though,
easy,
isn't it?
Yeah. I'm surprised at it. The only reason I say that is because we had been so good defensively in South Africa and so good in November.
Yeah.
In general, yeah, we got caught out a couple of times against Australia, but again, that was when we had Kieran Marmion. On playing on the wing, Joey Carberry had gone into full back.
Yeah.
We had a catastrophe of injuries, but we still survived it.
There was a couple of players, like, okay, the Jarrod Payne thing is just because Gary Ringrose just doesn't have the experience, but I felt like Sexton and O'Mahony were really missed for the simple things. Like, there was loads of incidents in the game where, like, Scottish players, it was real Nathan Hines stuff, were holding on to Tadhg Furlong's leg and he did nothing when he was trying to get away from a ruck. CJ Stanley was dragged down once and he did nothing.
Yeah.
And, like, you see then Parise, Welsh lads were holding Parise yesterday and he just, like, he cleavered down with his forearm on them. I'm not saying get yellow card or get a penalty, but there was a bite that wasn't evident in the Irish players that O'Mahony just and Sexton automatically bring probably to every training session.
Well, you feel like the Kearney comments read into we were just too bloody nice.
Yeah.
Like, all over the field, at the breakdown, everywhere. And maybe there was just a touch of inexperience connected with that niceness.
The flip side is, though, as soon as they start playing Flair of Scotland, I was like, oh no. You could see it. It wasn't... the whole place, the whole city was up for it.
Yeah.
It was, and you can... You know it because you've gone to Ireland games when you're going, okay, this is something special is brewing here. They actually had that. We still should have beaten them.
Yeah.
But they actually... You could feel that in the stadium.
Is spacing such a difficult thing to rectify on the pitch?
No, it shouldn't be.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be. I think that comes... That can be helped from an experienced 13. I think they do have... Gary will learn these things. He's still got a lot of years lying ahead of him and he's got limited experience, particularly his first Six Nations game. But I think when you've got someone like Jarrod Payne that understands, and I said it back at the World Cup the same time, as a 13, if you find you're too narrow, you're the one that's going to get most exploited. You're the one that's most vulnerable. So the only thing you can do to get spacings, if people aren't listening to you to get wider, is just walk 6-7 metres to your left or to your right.
And
the
you.
Next defender looks at you and goes, oh my God, look at the size of the space here between the two of us.
Okay.
And that's the only way. They shout at the guy inside them and say, get out. You've got to take it into your own hands. If you stand 6 or 7 metres away from your next defender, you can always shoot back in if someone tries to get into that space. But it's very difficult with fast wingers, people with good feet, you know, to try and defend narrow and then push out as well. It's an unenviable challenge.
Right, okay. So that's maybe an understandable situation for a guy in his first Six Nations Test to kind of fall into that trap. Like, was it, you know, the second try where we're very narrow, is that his fault? Is that the 13's fault?
I think the thing that happens there, so it's a 5-man line out and Ireland play their 2 loose forwards inside 10 on that. So Strauss is hitting straight into Henshaw, which you wouldn't have a problem with. But Gary does go in on that. Now, what I would say there is he's got to go and slow it up for 5, 6, 7, 8 seconds. Mm. It's not a super quick ruck, but he finds himself only getting out to second defender.
He's in no man's land then when he comes out.
He's not much use at 2 as a second defender. Paddy Jackson, ordinarily, when it goes outside him, will go to the blind side, but he has a look, realises his 2 centres are stuck in that tackle, and so he pushes out to the edge. So you've got forward, back, forward, back. Even still, you're not that badly set up. But they all kind of defended very hard up. Mm. One flat pass out to Hugh Jones, another one to Hogg. It shouldn't be that easy to beat a team.
Yeah.
You know, 2 phases, very, very soft. I thought again they were doing an awful lot of ball watching rather than seeing where the threats were out in the wide channels.
Which they knew all about Hogg, though. This is the worst thing. They've been well flagged that Hogg, quick ball to Hogg is what hurts us, and yet it was the first thing they did. They did it straight away with him, didn't they?
And Finn Russell is a beautiful passer of the ball. I was watching his game pretty closely over today. I watched the game twice. And he still threw the ball away from the line a fair bit.
Yeah.
But his quality of pass is excellent. And when you've got the gas of Hugh Jones, of Hogg, Seymour, Maitland, and on the front foot, that's gonna hurt any team. And the connect, I think we did miss the connect there on that second try of an outside back and their winger being able to, you know, if Gary had been out there or Jared Payne had been out there, to be able to tell Earls to push off, to be softer. I thought Paddy Jackson played too hard up and he made it very difficult for Keith Earls.
So then a final point as we go to break on all of this. This sounds like it's very fixable and very basic, and they're going to be looking at each other today in the meeting going, what the hell were we doing? Like, this is not difficult stuff.
I think the worst thing about it was the Scottish back row dominating the Irish back row for those key moments in the first quarter of the game. Mm. They certainly didn't do it for the rest of the game, but like that was the one area where I was just so surprised. Because I said it last week, I said this is the best, with no disrespect to Stephen Ferris, it looks like the best Irish back row ever, because Van der Flyer comes into it as well, like as a combination, and they were showing up.
Mm.
To answer your point, I do think that it's very fixable.
Right.
I don't think we're a million miles away. I think we lacked a bit of accuracy that first half. We got bullied, and that's always upsetting for any team to get out-muscled. That's not easy to take.
Yeah. And my frustration is growing, as you explain.
Yeah, we really weren't a million miles away. Even the lineouts that we lost, I don't think there's finger-pointing going on. I think the Scottish lineout did brilliantly. I think Gray is obviously almost as tall as Devon Toner ordinarily, you know, when you're thrown to 6'10".
Did they know that there was going to Toner because the options were not as good elsewhere, because there's no Omahony in the back?
Yeah, I think that extra line-out option does have an effect. I think, you know, not being able to go to the back as often as you might with not having Pete in the team. But Gray, Richie Gray had a phenomenal line-out game, even just getting a little finger nick, because they didn't look as though there were bad throws. They didn't look as though the lifters missed the jump. Just was really good defensive play. And the truck and trailer, when we were 7-0 down, when we broke away and created a second maul, that's an unfortunate when you get caught for those. But it's a good call from it was. I think it's that's definitely 5, maybe 7 points. You're back in the game. It's a momentum thing. And then another one, I'm not sure, it was about 20 minutes in. We got a penalty, brilliant kick from Jackson into the corner about 6 or 7 metres out, and Gray again turns it over.
Yeah.
It's those situations. We've gotten so accustomed to having a great maul 10 metres out, we're thinking we're going to score every time. And when you have those swings of momentum work against you, can just be a little bit deflating.
Okay, more from the two lads in just a moment.
Get closer to Irish rugby with Newstalk and Vodafone, official sponsor of the Irish rugby team.
You're welcome back. Brian O'Driscoll still here. Gavin Cumsky of the Irish Times still here. You mentioned Jackson just before the break, Brian. Your thoughts on Jackson?
I thought he did fine. Like, you know, okay game. I noticed that Joey Carberry's going to be playing for Leinster next weekend. He should probably, if Johnny Sexton doesn't get fit, Joey Carberry comes back onto the bench for the French game. The problem is when you see him, you know that Johnny's doing something slightly different. Like, it was a lot of it was he seemed a bit deep. I think Sexton would have dominated the game a bit more. Just that was just what I was seeing when I was watching Paddy there. But you can't be overly critical of him. He didn't, like, he missed one kick, but it was a difficult one. He actually had his place kicking disrupted because of the bus gate 8-minute delay
before the game. That was actually one of the main things that affected that massive conspiracy theory by the Scottish to derail our plans.
You've spent some time looking at Busquets.
Yeah, well, I had 3 hours in the airport after the game, so I found out all the details on it. Yeah, they were 8 minutes late because the Outriders, the two police escorts, took an alternative route than what was planned in Joe Schmidt's master plan.
Right.
And when they got, then they were delayed for between 4 and 5 minutes, maybe 4 minutes, 20 seconds or something like that,
yeah.
Because the Scottish pipe band were marching in, so they couldn't get into the their dressing room for 4 or 5 minutes.
Okay.
Joe was livid enough to say it on live on TV straight after the game, and then without any prompting whatsoever in the media, in the press room with all the other journalists afterwards. But then the writer kept going, but it had nothing to do with our preparation, it had nothing to do with why we lost and all that.
Yeah.
So why say it?
You have almost a phobia of being late, I remember from your autobiography. Would this have bothered you in a great way?
Not really. I hated the police escort to Scotland. It's the worst one.
Right.
You stop at every red light.
What's the point of the escort?
I have no idea why they have them. There's no point in having outriders
over
there.
And they weren't removing the cars. That was another thing.
And the other thing, it is a massive annoyance when you get into the stadium in Murrayfield that you have the band bring the bus in. Now, whatever about all the timings, irrespective of that, we don't need it. We're grand, thanks.
How long do you truck in behind the band for?
Like, probably, 2 or 3 minutes, but like you're there, you're excited. I'm sure it must be about just trying to take the wind out of your sails in some capacity.
Yeah.
But obviously,
those two motorcycles have been around.
Christmas bonus early now and everything. Definitely.
Your thoughts on Jackson?
I think Gav was pretty on point there. He did an okay game. He had a beautiful line for his try.
Yeah.
Really, really nicely taken. Goal kick pretty well. I thought he was quite deep in the first half, but then it's difficult when you're getting smashed in the collisions. I still think he could have taken it a little bit flatter. I think a bit of the onus should have been on his outside backs, particularly Robbie Henshaw, trying to push him flatter.
Mm.
The thing about playing deep when you've got aggressive line speed is they can take 4 or 5 really hard steps off the line before they have to stop to make a decision. If you take it flatter, they can only take a couple of steps before they have to cool the jets.
Mm.
If they keep coming hard, a little bit of footwork and you're past them. So that's why you take it flat as a 10 as opposed to taking it deep. You can take it deep if you're going to kick the ball all day,
yeah.
But we weren't looking to do that.
You touched on it there as well, though. Is Paddy the senior man in that 10, 12, 13?
No, I think
is it Robbie?
I think Robbie probably is. I don't know what their chat is. I know that Gary is quite a quiet guy.
Yeah.
If you meet Robbie, he's... probably a relatively quiet guy. I know his chat is much improved, but definitely I get the sense that when Johnny's there, he very much dominates things. And Jared's talk is invaluable and has been when Ireland have been good. The lads always talk about him as a brilliant communicator, and just shows all the people that were getting on about Jared and how weak at 13 he was.
So far off the base.
They really are. He's a classy, classy player. Gary will be great,
yeah.
But he needs some time. And he I suppose. It's thrown in the deep end, and you have to learn from these experiences.
Have you ever sat down with Ringrose in a Robbie Henshaw-esque way? And
I've sat down with Gary and looked through some of his analysis, and I've offered to do it if he wants to take it up. And I think it's very difficult. I don't want to go.
I know,
stroll into Six Nations. Listen, this is what you need to do. So
guys, it's okay. I'm here.
But if he I'm absolutely happy to help out in any capacity.
It's one of those positions which you a bit like a 10. Experience is just huge. Recognizing the space, all those things you talked about, all of that just boils down very simply to experience.
And it's all quicker at international. He's got two or three caps, and he just needs to. Play more games and you'll see situations much quicker and be able to react quicker as a result.
We now have to win the remaining 4 games realistically.
Yeah we do.
How big an ask is that?
Yeah, it's a big ask, but I think you've seen the worst performance from this Ireland team in this year's Six Nations.
Mm.
I think France looked like a different French team, so there'll be no soft touch. Obviously you need a just to stay in with Italy, and I think you'll beat them. I think we saw that against Wales. They're limited with their game plan, and if you get a dry day, I think you can carve them up. France will be tough at home, but you'd be hopeful that you'd be able to do a job, run them around, and then Wales will be okay. They're not going to lose to both England and us in the Millennium. You'd think. I just hope that we got 3 more wins, because I don't think England win a Grand Slam if they come to Dublin in March.
Wales need to win, then need to beat England on this weekend, that's essential for Ireland.
But if they don't, and we go and win in Wales, it's one of those two. I just England were poor at the weekend. I think if England play like that against against Wales next week, they'll lose. They were as poor as I've seen them for a long time. But right. good teams against decent opposition, good teams still manage to grind it out when they're having an off day.
Okay, lads, listen, brilliant stuff. We'll leave it there. Gavin Comiskey, thanks very much. Brian, thanks again.
Text News Talk on 53106.